there's the statistics first and foremost, right? So the urban myth, I don't even know if it's true, but 80% of businesses fail in the first 24 months. If you allow for shelf businesses and a bunch of other stuff, you know, it's probably worse than that. And what they generally go out of business is because of lack of cash flow, or they underestimate the cash needs of the business, very common. Jim's actually publishes its statistics on this, and the last one I saw was a 92% success rate. That means the people who are attending training are still in business in 24 months. We're basically ensuring the success. We have pay for work guarantee for those that need it to support them, but really the marketing engine and also the other franchisees around them are all being successful for reasons that they'll share and help you with. So the risk factor is very low.
So today we're joined by Robert Young, and now Robert, you hold multiple different positions with our Jim's Group New Zealand family. You've been really driving growth and building New Zealand beyond just the mowing, but also been out for a long time. It's like army man, building maintenance and fencing. So Robert, do you want to introduce a bit about yourself and your background since all you were with Jim?
Okay, thank you, Joel. So I was involved in a large flooring retailer which had many franchises, and that was based on a percentage base of revenue. And I knew enough about it that when I saw the Jim system, I saw the strength and the fairness in the fixed fee system. That was the first inclination. Then the more I learned about it, I ended up investing in bringing Jim's Handyman to New Zealand about 2.5 years ago, because there was identified a gap in the market for some quality services. There's plenty of cheap services, but New Zealand needs some proper services to get their jobs done properly. And then because of the success of that, we've decided to introduce fencing as a specialisation. And very recently, we've introduced painting into New Zealand. So we're just getting our business established in Auckland now, with people in training and coming through the system, and the marketing starting to get out there and generate the work for those guys. And what we hope to do from here with the trades, as you said, building and maintenance, handyman, painting, fencing, is to grow that reputation as a supplier of trade services, because we've been in New Zealand for over 30 years with mowing, and 10 years with cleaning, and 5 years, I think maybe 6 years nearly with the test and tag, all gone very successfully. And we just want to get to that position in New Zealand that you have in Australia, where the customers just call us for everything. So you want your dog groomed, you want your house cleaned, you want your lawn mowed, you want your deck built, just call Jim's 0800 number, and you know, we'll get the team there with the right skills and tool sets for that customer's requirements for just about anything. So I feel like we're about 2 years into a five-year journey of normalizing and having the spread of services to be able to offer that in New Zealand, just starting to look a little bit like Australia, and then we can hopefully one day we can become ubiquitous like you guys are in Australia now.
I was going to say, Rob, explain to them the Jim's system in a bit of a nutshell. So obviously might have seen the mowing franchise going around and maybe not be too familiar with franchising. And just in a nutshell, sort of give people a quick summary about what it is.
So the main reason anyone does it is to make more money, right? We've got to be real clear about that. The whole point is for everyone to make more money. It's not about hugs and kisses and, oh, you've got a brand, therefore you flash. You know, we have our system is set up to help our franchisees make more money and establish successful businesses. So they pay for that privilege and that opportunity, and the money is split into three parts. So depending on the division, you'll have a territory purchase price, and that includes everything you need to get going. So generally across the different divisions, you need a deposit, you need an appropriate vehicle, and you need your tools for whatever division you're in, and you're good to go. Now, the territory and the license that you're buying is a great start, and sure, you get the leads from your territory first, but really, you're generally working in an area. So, for instance, here in Auckland, if you're in central Auckland, you'll spend your time in central Auckland. You know, you shouldn't need to be going to south and west and north and spending all that time driving. We're generating enough business that you can operate, you know, generally within about half an hour of your house. So that's your owning the territory in the first place. And what we're going to do with that is build it up and sell it for as a going concern down the track. So I would say with any franchise system you look at least ask the question of what happens at the end, because with Jim's you own it, so you have the opportunity to sell it and take more money once you're ready to retire, or you're off overseas, or you're doing something else. There's that. Any franchise system you look at, got to ask about the exit, because they're not created equal. So that's the territory. And then the ongoing fees, and for me, this is the real key to it. The fees are fixed. So the fees are fixed at a certain amount per month. Now, the thing about that is the harder you work, the more money you make. And that's pretty obvious. But what isn't obvious to people is that when you're paying a percentage of your income like you are with nearly other system out there, a couple of things need to happen. One is someone like me needs to invoice the customer to make sure I get paid. You as the franchisee are immediately going to start trying to hide work from me because you don't want to pay the commission. When I talk to you, I'm trying to get you to work hard and grow and make me more money. With the gym system, because you're on a fixed fee, if you decide to work 20 hours a week or you decide to work 70 hours a week, that's your business. And how that manifests itself is the only conversation we need to be having is how to grow your business. And you grow your business along the lines of what you want, because I don't have a financial interest on you growing or not growing, because sometimes in these businesses, the lifestyle, you can make more money by adding more people to your team, but your hassle factor goes up. So if you want to work every other God sends and burns an empire, that's fine. If you want to have a knife lifestyle and have a sort of a 30-hour week, that's fine too. One of my guys recently, his wife was they're having their first baby, took plenty of time off. It's entirely up to him. No one's questioning him. He doesn't have to explain himself to anyone. He just does it. And the fixed fees manifest itself like that throughout the group and creates a very different relationship. Because when you're on a percentage basis and I'm invoicing the customer, so you're only supplying the labor, it's really my customer. But with the fixed fees, all your customers are simply that, your customers. And that takes us to the last part of the financial, the third part, which is lead fees. So every time we generate a brand new customer the first time only, that's your customer now. So when they ring up in 3 years and they say, I can't remember the guy's name, but I remember he was at Jim's handyman, we can see, oh, you're Joel's customer. We can see that here. That's him. Can you send him back? You don't pay again. You already paid for that one customer that first time. And even what we find often happens is property management companies like, say, a Barfoot and Thompson office in central Auckland, once they're your customer, they can all ring up as much as they like and explain all the jobs they need doing or via the email the online systems. You don't pay again. And any customers that you generate and or any existing customers you might have coming into the franchise, you don't pay for them. It's only the brand new customers the first time only. So in most businesses, when you pay your marketing, you know this better than anyone, you throw it at a wall and you get what you get. At gyms, you only pay when you get something. So even if you're a terrible salesperson, you know, and you only close half your quotes, in handyman, for example, a brand new customer the first time is $35 for a big job and $15 for a small. So if you're only closing half your quotes, you're paying $70 for a job. But given the fact that our average job is just over $2,000, it's very it works really well, and the guys really enjoy it. And you can turn up the leads from your territory, your local area, or your all areas, depending on what your needs are at that point. So the guys that are established just use the leads just to top their diary up, because we want to be making money three ways. We're charging a premium, but we are delivering a premium service, but you are getting a premium per hour by being part of gyms. Then you're billing more hours. So rather, these are the hours you work, how much of them are you actually billing? Because we know independents spend a lot of time doing a lot of extra stuff they're not actually paid for. And then the last way to make money is on the margin of the products you sell. So using handyman as an example again, we get a tier one commercial discount at Bunnings, and the franchisees keep all that margin. We don't take any kickbacks or any retentions, because again, that would jeopardize our relationship, because then I'd be calling you each week asking you how much wood you've sold, when really we need to be talking about what do you want and how we're going to get you there. So we're constantly developing that business plan of yours rather than talking about how much money you're making us, because all that's fixed. So it makes for a very open, honest relationship between us and between all the guys, because there's no conflict of interest there at all. So it's working gangbusters. I mean, we're the market leader in Auckland. Yeah, our competitors have been in the market for 20 years. We've been in the market 2 years, and we're the market leader. And now we're just going to make that happen in the rest of the country. And that's the mission I'm on right now.
Yeah, you know, you've got a great team. I remember meeting some of the boys over there. I've had interviewed a couple, you know, in Christchurch and Corbin, who's just started recently as well. And it's a great setup what you've got over there. And I was going to say as well, if anyone interested in the contract, we can provide the contract before anything else. And we're very open with that franchise agreement and stuff like that for people to read, so they can see how transparent it is, because it is a very unique franchising agreement. And if people want to know more about it, you know, they can just YouTube Kim on this sort of stuff and they'll hear about it. But let's talk now. Obviously, handyman's a lot of good content we've got on YouTube, where you can look up about the handyman stuff. Let's talk about the other one you've started now, which is the fencing and paint. So I think we've interviewed Rob Brown at Fencing, which we'll have up soon, which is a good one for New Zealand about that. But let's talk about those divisions in isolation, maybe real quickly, about the fencing, why Jim's fencing is a good option and why Jim's pay is a good option.
So fencing is a specialisation. It's actually, when people think fencing, they think about pine and paling fencing, but it's actually highly competitive and it's very difficult to make money in that because it's about 80% muscle. And in New Zealand, we've got plenty of muscle, but we're a bit short on the brains. So fencing it's very competitive. You need to be really efficient. But how I believe, and we are doing this, how we're driving the real profitability, really building a business you really want to own, is actually going up the value chain. So electric gates, keypads, camera systems, feature walls, rock walls, glass balustrades, this is where the money is. So we've changed tech just recently to looking to recruit very experienced people and plug them into our marketing engine. Because what we're finding with simply doing pine fencing is that with fencing, it's usually a multiple quote situation. So like all businesses, you've got to find your niche. And where Jim's is enjoying a lot of success is by selling boundaries at a much higher level. And you can specialize and learn as you go, depending on your market. For instance, in Cambridge, there's a lot of horse farms. I don't know if you call them that, whatever you call it, horse farms, yeah, racehorses and stuff. So they have a very particular type of fencing, right? So you need to specialize in that particular type of fencing. And then other places like Christchurch, they have a lot of security concerns for some reason. So that's what seems to be very popular is using the gates and the fencing truly as security rather than just a simple barrier, which is mostly the electronic side of it, which is the cameras that can be integrated into the walls themselves. And so that, beautiful houses are getting beautiful fences, as opposed to just the standard pine fencing you put on new stuff right now, which are really a bit of an eyesore, and they don't age well. But that's cheap, and what we're focused on is the quality side of fencing. So that's the market, and that's what we're going for in fencing. It's very early days, but that also gives us a lot of flexibility, and also we reduce the price of the territories, not as an enticement or a discount. It's that we're right at that stage where the people are helping us get established, so it's fair that they pay a little less. We usually give them a bit of extra territory, and we need to spend the marketing that's required to get them busy, because the way, as you know, that Jim's really sells franchises isn't through some big flash presentation from me. It's the fact that they can talk to the existing franchisees who are genuinely happy. My philosophy, and I know that Jim shares this, is that every franchisee is with us every month because it's in their financial interest to do so, right? It's as simple and pragmatic as that. So we invest and grow that market with that one consideration, is just helping our franchisees make money. Now, painting is something similar, except painting is a true trade. And there are many opportunities to get painting wrong. Painting is easy to get wrong. And that's the last thing we do. As you know, our nemesis is complaints. The main thing we're all about is no complaints and keeping the customer happy, because that's what's in the best interest of everyone involved. And painting is real easy to get wrong. So again, we're only recruiting experts here, and we're currently establishing a comprehensive training system, particularly for New Zealand conditions. It's going to be broken into two parts. One is for painting of new houses, and that's all about meters per hour and the equipment that comes with us for you to be as efficient as anything in the market. And then the second stage is to progress to the villas and bungalows that we have, which is all about preparation. So being able to deliver and train people to a very high standard and then deliver a premium professional painting service looks to be the big gap in the market. And we're also generating a pipeline of people out of the sports arena, because a lot of these guys in the rugby and the league and they make a bit of money quite good in their 20s, but at the end of their late 20s, they're pretty much out of a job. So we're going to be partnering with New Zealand Rugby to give them some alternatives, which is fencing, handyman, painting, so that they can progress into that while they're pursuing their rugby careers. And if it doesn't quite happen for them, you know, they quite get that, the guys that, you know, the pyramid's pretty steep and unforgiving. You know, the top sort of few, couple hundred guys are doing fine, but the 5,000 guys behind them need to find a job, and their coaches know and their managers know that they're better off having their own business. And because of the skill set and the attitudes it takes to become a top sportsman, in my experience, they make very good business people because they're disciplined and focused, and they understand that it's maintaining those standards every day, not trying to be Elon Musk and have all kinds of brainy ideas. It comes down to hard work, good service every day, and that accumulates into a top business. So quite excited about that. Razine, a New Zealand company that we're looking to support and we're partnering with, and their senior team are very bullish about what we'll be able to accomplish in the next couple of years. Again, because there's no one they point to in their industry. I'm sure they're out there, but no one that really jumps to mind that, yep, that's where you get quality paint services from, those guys. They're a lot of privateers, very piecemeal, and obviously many of them are very, very good, but they don't have that overarching brand that customers know. They can just call the 0800 number, job's going to be done properly at a fair price, and it's going to have a proper warranty and a business behind all the work we do. So if they do have any issues, they will be sorted out. I mean, many people are amazed that we actually have a warranty fund, like actual money sitting in an actual bank account, ready to react at any time to someone who needs a warranty claim. Hardly any business I've heard of does that. They talk about it, but to actually, I think we're up to, in Handyman, for example, I think we're about 70 grand or something, and it's sitting there just waiting for a customer if they need it. I mean, there's very few businesses can say that, and it's really good for the guys to know that backup is behind them as they go about their daily business.
Yeah, the warranty fund is a really unique feature to gyms, and you know, over the years, it's been really, really handy. What it's designed for is obviously the workmanship guarantee of gyms, but it's practically at a league, for example, and it's an issue with the dock 10 years down the track or whatever, and it's proven where it falls, the gym will cover it. That's happened a lot, and a good example is over in Australia, where I think one time there was 140 grand fence or something that had to be done, and the branches were logged on, and the company was able to get sorted out, and no other business, no other franchise definitely has that at all. So that's a really good point you mentioned there as well. And so let's talk real quickly about the New Zealand rugby thing. So how did you do that, and what sort of, how did that kind of work or look?
Networking. I just came, as you do these networking things, I came across someone who's a 30-year veteran of the painting industry, but is also on the board of New Zealand Rugby. And they've actually been trying to establish this system for a long time. And where it keeps falling down is not having the franchise system in place. So the guys do the training, but there's no way of ensuring the managing the quality of service they give, making sure they got enough work, giving them a recognized brand without having to start a brand from scratch. And you know how difficult it is to get cut through. So they've kept failing in this. And then I was talking to him at a networking event, and it was literally a case of, geez, this is exactly what we've been looking for. Because all the weaknesses they have are our strengths and vice versa. So very complimentary. And it's early doors, it's not in place as yet, but it's quite an exciting opportunity. And it won't be the only way we build painters in the team. It will just be one of the ways. Because as long as you can provide a quality service, we don't really care if you can play rugby or not.
I've got to say as well, we run ads online. This is quite common in Australia as well. As it is in New Zealand, you see a lot of comments and things say, keep all the money for yourself. Thank you, Uncle Jimmy. This amount of money, blah, 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 blah. Want to just outline the whole thing about independent route and the realities of maybe going independent route compared to doing a franchise. Not even though it's a gym's franchise, but it's all about you, but just a franchise in general compared to just the independent route. Because I don't think a lot of people understand just how hard it is to get that independent business going. It's not as easy as simply chucking a few letterbox buyers in a neighbor, and all of a sudden you're going to have a big business, is what people online sometimes say about as against the franchise. Maybe I'll outline those two parts of those differences there.
So, there's the statistics first and foremost, right? So the urban myth, I don't even know if it's true, but 80% of businesses fail in the first 24 months, right? Now, if you allow for shelf businesses and a bunch of other stuff, it's probably worse than that. And what they generally go out of business is because of lack of cash flow, or they underestimate the cash needs of the business. Very common. Gyms actually publishes its statistics on this. And the last one I saw was a 92% success rate. That means the people who are attending training are still in business in 24 months. Now, that's not surprising to me. If you look at 1 in 10 people who aren't there, I would say at least half of them are due to sickness or unseen circumstances. And then the half a percent that don't make it, I think they've got to look at themselves. Now, if we've got 9 succeeding, it's probably them. And I've had a couple of failures myself, but that's both cases, is that I was too generous in my opinion of them and thought they could do it. But some people genuinely should have jobs and shouldn't have franchises. But if you are the sort of person who should have his own business, we basically, I mean, if you look at 92, where's the risk? We're basically ensuring the success. We have pay for work guarantee for those that need it to support them. But really the marketing engine and also the other franchisees around them are all being successful for reasons that they'll share and help you with. So the risk factor is very low. And to put that into context, I would say that if you can start your own business and call it Joel Handyman or Joel Painting or something, if you can survive the first 2 to 3 years, you'll basically get to where you are with Jim's day one. So if you work for three, your business, if you survive for 3 years, your phone will be probably ringing regularly with new work. People, at least in your vicinity, will know who you are. So you'll have some sort of brand cut through and recognition, and you've probably established your team and your systems. And by then, we get all that the first day with Jim's. So you're immediately jumping 2 or 3 years ahead of your A solution anyway. And in business, you need every advantage you can get your hands on because it's very competitive out there. So very, very low risk and just truckloads of help. It's very lonely. I know having your own business by yourself, it can be very lonely. And even the meetings we have every 6 weeks where the guys all get together, you know, the war stories they share, the problems they face, and here's the solution. You know, you cannot underestimate the benefit of that and also the lead fees. So I always use the example of retailer. If I'm a retailer and I can turn my leads up and down depending on how many people I need to walk in the front door today to make my targets, man, that's a huge luxury, a huge luxury. And then when you got 10 customers in the way to get your till, you can turn your leads off because you don't need any more people to walk in. And a retailer would take your arm off of that system to have that system available. And we have that, along with the flexibility of no premises.
Yeah, well,
we all get in vehicles, we go somewhere, we give a service. It doesn't matter if we're grooming your dog, cleaning your house, or building your deck. We're mobile and we're out in the market itself. In business, I don't know really. I'd much rather do that than be stuck in one place.
You mentioned something in there which people might not know is about the pay for work guarantee. Can you just explain what it is, how it functions, and why it's a really part of the franchise? Use that extra level of security for someone making across the line.
Well, it's even more than that. Pay for work guarantee, it's one of the things in gyms that makes it quite unique. So fixed fees. The fact that you can give 2 weeks written notice and just walk away, that's your nuclear option, it's your worst option, but you can just walk away. The pay for work guarantee, in the training, as long as you're doing the right things, which is out there promoting your business, giving away free quote, maybe even doing some free work in your community, then we will pay your pay for work guarantee. And a couple of smart things about that is the pay for work doesn't come from head office, it comes from me, right? So I could put my hand in my pocket and give it to you if I don't find you enough work through the marketing systems. So therefore, I'm not just going to throw bodies at it, right? So any other franchisee system that doesn't have pay for work guarantee, just through to whoever you want, let them sink or swim. You've got no liability in it. But I personally do. And it's very clever that gyms have made the system that way. And the pay for work guarantee, at a minimum, covers your fees, gives you a little bit of spending money. But really, I think for me, it keeps me on my toes and makes sure that, you know, you get what you've been promised, which is, you know, we've got to fill that diary out. The other thing with pay for work guarantee is even what you need to do to qualify for it are exactly the things you should be doing anyway, right? You should be going out, giving out business cards, go out, giving out free quotes. Jim's never asked you to do anything unnatural. And this comes back to one of the big things that I really like along with the fixed fees is that Jim started the business and he still runs it. We're not run by investors. We're not run by accountants, right? Because we've seen it in our own market. Franchisee systems are bought out by investors and all of a sudden they're squeezing all the franchises for every dollar they've got. And Jim's doesn't do that. And pay for work guarantee is a good example. It's very fair. It takes away all of the risk and it keeps the franchisor on their toes. And you've got the other thing is it's talked about on YouTube. It's not a secret. There's Jim talking about it freely on YouTube that anyone can watch anytime. With over 5,000 franchisees, we can't keep our system a secret anyway. And it's all out there. It's all transparent. Even what I do, in fact, I've done it every single time, is I send people to induction training before they sign their franchise agreement. So by the time they come to sign their franchise agreement, I've spent hours with them. They've been in Jim's head office for days. They've met everyone. You're in training with 100, 120 people. They're asking questions you haven't even thought of yet. So when you get back from induction training, you know exactly why you're doing it, exactly how it works, and that's when you can put pen to paper.
Yeah, it's very unique, Rock, because a lot of franchises don't show you anything or train you in anything before you sign an agreement. So we're the opposite. We want you to actually do the training and then sign an agreement afterwards. So it's really, really important. So I think it's a great point as well. And the paperwork guarantee, a lot of, I've actually witnessed the other day from another few practices we've interviewed to read other systems, and apparently some systems advertise the income guarantee. And if you do claim it, you do have to pay it back at some stage. So it's not just a, which I learned the other day. So if people are looking at this and looking at other franchises, just make sure you look at the income guarantees and if it comes with some shrink to patch, because, yeah, it's a lot of interesting systems out there when you learn about it. So,
well, for the first time in ages, I saw a new franchisee for one of our competitors the other day. And I was gutted because I know for a fact if he talked to us, he'd be with us. Because my main competitor charges the same fees as us plus 7% of your turnover. So it's just no issue, no comment. All right, it's just, why would you spend an extra 7% a year for something similar? So it's, if people talk to us, generally I find we don't, if we want them, because we don't obviously want, we don't want, 60, 70% of the people actually call us because they just simply don't have the skills. But absolutely gutted to find out I lost one person to a competitor because they obviously hadn't talked to us. A lot of the competitors over here are owned by bigger businesses, and bigger businesses that have flash offices and big teams and management. Well, guess who pays for all that? The franchisees. So at gyms, we're really lean. Painting, fencing, handyman, building and maintenance is only me. Right, and then it goes to the head office and 5,000 businesses are sharing that bill. So that's how we can maintain this business model of taking just a little bit of money, but out of a lot of people. And, that's how Jim's grown such a successful business.
Yeah, it's something we should advertise a little bit more, but something people watching should consider is if your franchise system, got private equity or got some sort of investment involved, because that then changes the relationship between head office and the franchisee, whereas the duty goes to the shareholders of the investor, not the franchisee, whereas Jim is always the franchisee first, because Jim owns it and he's very, very active involved. And I'll also say, people check out Jim's group, he's there on YouTube channel and the Jim's group channel, and generally, and as you said, there's so much stuff there with Jim, we're very transparent. You can see the full training online, but I don't think people realize how good the training is. Obviously, there's a few videos online I can watch to get a sense of it, but you don't have your feedback from your franchisee's experience. Do you want to talk a bit about the training and what's involved with that as well?
Well, induction training is in two parts in New Zealand because not everyone has a New Zealand passport yet. They might be on a residence visa. So we have training in Christchurch every 6 weeks. But in Australia, I try, if possible, I send people to Melbourne for the whole experience, because you're going over on a Sunday, you're back on a Thursday, and I've never had anyone go to that training and not sign up when they get back. It's very high quality training. You get to see the call center, you get to meet everyone. And yet the people doing the training have all been there, done that as well. This is an example of not suffering from investors and that type of corporate structure, because then you're getting professional trainers and people who are sort of managers professionally. Everyone that trains our people have actually done it in the trenches, right? And I say this all the time. We get to certain conversations with prospects. I'm like, you need to talk to the existing guys, because I'm not actually out there doing it. Right? I'm just the office boy. So no point asking me about that. Let's get you to talk to the existing guys. And the existing guys are the key, but the induction training is the first introduction to Jim's internal services, and it being very high quality with the greater cars and even the phone, but the quality of training particularly, everyone comes back fizzed up, and it's really quite an experience. And, if at all possible, I send everyone to Melbourne.
Now, it's day, I remember meeting your guys over here, and it's great to have them over. And it's a really good part of the style. Obviously, we do have New Zealand-based training now, but that's just been rekindled, whereas the Jim's group training over here has been relentlessly improved, over a long, 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 long time. It is quite experienced. People can chat it online as well. Jim's ePOT is actually online in full as well. If people want to get a sense for the franchise, if you're looking at us and some other options, please check out the YouTube channel. I think that's a great resource for people as well as the podcast. We've got a lot of New Zealand interviews now, but please check out Jim's podcast for that as well. I was going to say, Robert, as well, what do you like about being a part of the brand? Because you obviously got a heap of business experience. And the best thing about people coming under with you as a franchisor is you've got a lot of experience. But just a lot of the time, the gym is from franchisee to franchisor, right? And that's what they've known, they were employed for. Whereas with you, you've got all this extensive business experience from doing a lot of different things, dealing with a lot of money and all that sort of stuff. And they get a lot of, and what they probably don't realize is just how experienced you are, how much better experience they get access to with you as a franchisor in New Zealand. I think it's a really good, you know, just have, you're almost like a high-powered business coach in a way, essentially, as well, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because a lot of the guys have different strengths and weaknesses. Like some of the guys are highly skilled tradespeople, but they've never really run their own business, or they're quite uncomfortable with selling. And so I'm teaching them the true nature of selling, which is simply being honest and being yourself and being, don't try to sell per se, just be honest about what you're doing. And then other guys have got, like one of the guys on the North Shore, you know, in his last job, he had over 100 staff working for him, you know, and now him and his mate cruise around the bays over the North Shore doing these jobs for people with no stress, zero stress. And that's what's important to him. And then I've got other people who are interested in building empires, like one of my guys in South Auckland, for instance, has several employees and a factory he's set up, and he's got every tool under the sun, and he's paid off a fleet of vehicles. He's only been with us a couple of years, and he's got this empire going on. So it really comes down to the individual and what they truly want. And, you know, as we say, it's actually quite easy to get what you want in life, but man, deciding what it is really very difficult. But once you decide what you want, it's actually pretty easy, because you can just pursue that target. And that's the main thing I try to show the guys, is to give them that clarity of thought of what they really want. Because once you've got that, you can become quite powerful, and you don't waste your time on stuff that don't add up to what you truly want. And I've done it myself. Most of the business experience that's really stuck with me has been gained out of the losses, not necessarily the wins, where things have gone wrong, and there's been a few of those. But from someone like my point of view, this is a fantastic business, because you've got no staff. You've got what I consider business partners, which are the franchisees. We are absolutely in this together, and I only succeed if they do, and I fail if they do. And not in a wishy-washy way, in a direct, real way. So mentoring them, the guys that need more business acumen, or the guys with lots of business acumen, we need to focus on the skill set, so that each franchisee is getting tailored coaching on their base requirements. You can't do everyone the same, because not everyone's the same, not by a long stretch, and not everyone wants the same things. So I get a lot of, I can grow nationally. We've got no stock, no staff, no premises, and I'm actually directly, genuinely improving people's lives. So what more do you want? You know, really, it's a great business. I've had hundreds of staff I've had to hire and fire. I don't miss it one bit.
I was gonna say that the great thing as well, with what people listening to this investigating us, I'm really encouraging them to get a list of your franchisees and call them as well, because the videos they see, the YouTube channel of guys that are in your business, like Leroy and those sort of fellas, and they've got really great businesses. And I just think, you know, if they can just speak to them as well as you, I think it's going to be something where you're going to get all their questions answered. And just to make it clear to people, if they are interested, they could come out for an observation day, or what's the process for them if they are interested and want to learn more, what do they do?
Well, generally how it works is first thing is for me and them to have a conversation. And what I look to qualify is, you can they do it? Do they have the right attitude? But also, is it the right thing for them? Because, that's the first thing. Just qualify, you know, why? I always ask them what their experience is. And the second question is, what are you actually looking to achieve? So once we have that good chat, the next thing is to have a meeting. And this usually takes an hour. We go into the detail. We learn more about them. And then that's it, right? From there, we go straight into meeting the existing guys. Because as you know, Jim's isn't about me doing a big flash sales presentation. It's that they can talk to the existing franchisees, and the existing franchisees are genuinely happy, genuinely being successful. So then we send them on a trial day. So encourage them to go and spend a full day with the guys. And usually we do a bit of a deal, because the existing franchisees, we don't pay them or incentivize them in any way to do it. They do it out of the goodness of their good hearts. You go and spend a day with one of them, and the idea is you lend your labor to them for free, and they'll share their wisdom with you for free. And the double benefit of that, of course, is we can see that these people, you know, can actually handle a hammer, so to speak, or a paintbrush. And of course, like any experienced trader, you can tell if someone knows what they're doing or not. So it's a mutual interview, if you like, throughout that day. And you can ask the franchisees anything. They'll tell you exactly what they think, because if you come on board, we all get to know each other anyway, so no one's going to be BSing anyone. They'll tell you exactly how it is. And then once you've done that trial day, then we can book you in for the training. You come back from the training, you really understand what you're doing, you fully understand why you're doing it. Then you can sign your franchise agreement. And then we have a commencement date. And on that date, I'll have you in uniform. Your vehicle will be signed, written. You'll know how to use your software. Your email will be live. And we're going to start sending you people that you need quotes. The process is as simple as that. And what I find is those people that are a really good fit, they just cruise through the whole thing. You know, as soon as you get people doing funny things or not getting back to me, there's some reason they're not going to do it. And it is scary getting your own business. I mean, it is people like the idea of it, the upside, but they're real scared of the downside. Well, you know, we can say, and we know that Jim's pretty much negates that risk, but they need to believe it. And they can only believe it by getting information, seeing people do it on the ground. You know, that's how they come to understand it. And we've got some very high quality people coming on board now. Since you're over, Les, we've got another five or six qualified builders. You know, the painting guys we're taking on are very experienced and really know what they're doing straight off the bat. So the overall knowledge and experience is only increasing all the time.
Yeah, no, look, when we were over there filming some content, you know, meeting your guys are all really, really impressive, and just how happy they were just being able to, you know, go from what they were doing to something where, you know, you got someone out there with multiple staff, or you've got some guys who are sole traders, and just from interviewing them, I've actually met a few of them. Corbin's a good example. Corbin, if they want to listen to his interview when it's live, he was in training, I met him here, and from the IT field, completely unrelated, and then came on board and did the franchise. And just when I was speaking, he was so happy. It was interesting just to see how happy he was coming through the screen. And just, it was interesting you say that there is so many reservations that people go from employment. They think, well, I'm safe in the employment. This is the risk. Whereas, you know, with companies and how they work, and you can be fired at any minute, right? So it's sort of not a risk to not do, to take that leadership in. And the thing with gyms is we've got those things, paperwork guarantees. You don't have to worry about the marketing and all that sort of stuff. You will hold their hand through the whole process and get it in. So they just really have to do a good job. That's what the people need to know of gyms. It's just basically when you're a franchisee, your really main job is to concentrate on really, really good customer service. And then the rest will be handed for you as well.
Well, we're also told by the market, right? If you look at banks, for example, when you go and apply for a mortgage, oh, you got a job. Oh, that's your salary. Right. No problem.
Yeah.
I've got this business I own. Oh, hang on a sec. Right. We need all this information. But, you know, in a job, first and foremost, you're always at the mercy of whatever the boss thinks of you in any given moment. You know, they sack and change and quit and all kinds of things happen. When you own a business, every year that you work in that business is all those relationships, all that contact points, all that good customer work you did, you own it. It's in your back pocket. It doesn't belong to the company you work for. So, and people complain with, you know, employees, they always want more money, they want this. Oh, we'll add more value. You know, they don't want to hear it, do they? But when you've got your own business, every bit of effort you put in is yours, and it's in the bank. You help Mr. Smith over here, Mr. Smith sells for his people because you looked after him, that reputation, you own it. And you get to sell it at the end. You know, most people in employment, they think it's a good job if they get a redundancy package at some point.
Yeah.
There's no redundancy package that adds up as much to a going concern, right? So when you sell your gym's handyman, Mount Roskill, and if you were selling your old handyman, Mount Roskill, and you are the business, right? You're the business. So when you sell your business, you're going to sell your customer list to another person who's in your business somewhere near you. When you sell your gym's business and you step out of the business, we're still here. The leads are still in place. The rest of the team are here to help you. We can finance you into it. We can train you. So that, as a going concern, is far more valuable. And unless we get another lefty government in, you shouldn't be paying capital gains tax on that in New Zealand. So that you actually get that money on the way out. You know, that's much better than any redundancy. Everyone forgets about that end result. And when they tend to come in this end, you've got to keep one eye on what happens when you finish. And am I building an asset that actually worth some money here? You never get to do that in a job. I mean, how many people have been in a job and, you know, the manager loves you, but the manager leaves and another manager comes in and doesn't like you at all, gets their own team in? There's nothing secure about a job. There's lots of things secure about a business. And one of the key things about that gyms we don't really talk about much is all of our franchisees have hundreds of customers, which is much better from a business point of view, because if you've got 100 customers and you lose 10 of them for some reason, you've got another 90. If you've got five or six customers, you can't afford to lose any of them. Now, when you've got a job, you've got five or six managers, and their opinion is the only reason you've still got a job. So, yeah, it's heaps less risky having your own business. It's heaps better. I mean, I had a 20-year corporate career before 2006 when I got my first working for myself, and I've been doing that since. And you ask anyone who's owned their own business, you can't go back to a job. But heaps of people with a job would love to transition owning a business. But once you own your own business, having a job, oh, no chance. Do me a favor. Couldn't do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's also the regret. A lot of people, you know, if they leave a job to start a small business, aren't going to maybe regret that decision, but they might regret staying in a job to their 50 or 45 and not taking that chance. So not having that regret, because I think a lot of people do regret not taking the chance with the business. And I think the gyms, and if you are risk adverse, the gyms franchise model is just a no-brainer. Like, just risk of matter someone.
Managing risk is business, right? More risk, more reward, more failure. It's all, you know, it's all doing this. But the difference is that even if your dreams to be totally independent, then what you should do is get yourselves a gym's franchisee for 3 to 5 years, and then you're ready, right? Because most businesses fail because people don't know what they don't know. So come into a gym's business. So for instance, you come into a handyman, you pay 40 grand in New Zealand for a handyman territory. You run there for 5 years, and don't forget, our guys make proper money, right? They make at least middle to senior management money. And then after that 5 years, you are absolutely prepped and ready to have your own independent business, if that's what you really want. Very few people do it, though, because an independent business isn't really as flash as it sounds. And the cost of being part of gyms once you've matured, right? So you've paid off your territory. You've got all your existing customers. Like, I've got a bunch of guys like this already. So all you need each month is just, you just take a few leads just to top yourself up. So all you do, all you've got is the fees. Now, the fees actually after tax deductibility and so on is only 7 or 8 grand a year. And you make that up on the discounts we get you from suppliers. So it costs you nothing to be part of gyms. You got all the systems and all the brand recognition and everything else that goes with it. My support, the meetings, everything that goes with it. It literally costs you nothing. Once you've paid off your territory and you've established your customer base, which we've given to you, or sold to you more accurately, you're in the pick seat and you're good to go. Why would you leave?
Absolutely.
All my guys make 20 to 30 grand extra GP a year just from the additional discounts of Bunnings. So that's your fees.
It's a great offering, Robert. I was going to say as well, the people who are listening to this, I've referenced it a few times, but check out the YouTube channel, the New Zealand one, and also the Gyms Group one, because we've got so much content on there, which is a massive point of difference for us. If you're looking at other franchises, which he advised you to do, but make sure you check that out before you make any decision. I was going to say, it's not that hard to call you, is it? What's the details? What do they need to do to contact you?
Just call 0800-454-654 for everything. Yeah, we answer the phone real quick, right? People think you call 0800 number, it's like calling Telstra or something. You're going to be online for 40 minutes, you know? No, the phone answer, our call center is awesome. I've run a call center business in the past. Our call center is second to none, for real. Awesome job those guys do. And so you call up that 0800 number and you explain to them what you're interested in, and they'll put you in touch with the right person. Real simple.
They do a great job. Is there anything else?
The 0800 number's on every website. You can't miss it.
Absolutely. Is there anything you want to say before we end today? Anything you want to finish up on?
My summary for today, we're just going to keep doing it, aren't we? This is just another video along the way. What I really want to hear from is people who take a real pride in their work, right? Painting, handyman, building maintenance particularly. You know, if you're the sort of person who takes real pride in your work, this is the right place for you, right? If you just want to make a quick, fast buck, this is not for you. Yeah.
Awesome. We'll leave it on that, Robert. Thank you very much for your time today, mate. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Joel. I always appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the episode of the Gyms Podcast. If you want to learn more about the Gyms Group, head to gyms.net or call us on 131 546 Australia or 0800 454 654 New Zealand. And if you did like the episode as well, please make sure you leave a review or a comment or a thumbs up or a comment on the video as well. We appreciate your support. And until next episode, we hope you have a great week.